If you like to follow along, I'm just going to read two verses. It's in Luke chapter 19. And they're going to be kind of spread out, but I have a purpose in mind. And oh, also good morning to everybody streaming. Glad you're with us. Luke chapter 19, I want to read verses 14 and 27. Luke 19, verse 14. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, "We will not have this man to reign over us." Now look at verse 27. This is the end of the parable. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Now these are the words of little Jesus, meek and mild. Yes, I was being a little sarcastic there. You understand, most people have no idea what this book says. Most people don't care what this book says. But I do care. I didn't used to, but I do now. Now, this is sort of going to be partially a continuation of what was on the TV this morning, and it's also going to be a continuation of what you read from Arthur Pink. Because here's the thing. God reigns. Amen. And God rules. Amen. This is a fact. There's no argument. There's no debate. If you don't like it, it's tough. And it's tough on you if you don't like it. I said this last week. The Old Testament and the New Testament both are categorically stating that God is sovereign. Yeah. Amen. And not only that, see, this is the thing. See, people will say God's sovereign, but they won't say that he reigns. They won't say that he rules. Well, that's what sovereign means. That's what sovereign means. He reigns whether we like it or not. He reigns whether we know it or not. But to those who know and love the reigning Lord Jesus Christ, this is glad tidings. It's good news. It is. That's my title. Glad tidings, comma, the Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Now, I picked this scripture mainly because of what this says. And these are the words of Christ. This is a parable. Now, I understand there's a middle part to this parable, and I'm not going to be dealing with that. But there are some things I want to point out about this verse and verse 27. Because it seems to be an aside from the parable. You know? But it's not. It's not. The rest of the parable deals with what the Lord gave certain men to do. I'll tell you here. Where is it? A certain noble man went into a far country to receive him for himself a kingdom, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and told them, "Occupy till I come." Then it says in verse 14, but his citizens hated him. Now, it's not talking about those 10 men that he gave the pounds to. That he deals with there in the middle. But he does also deal again with these men right here that said his citizens that hated him. That's how it ends. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Not exactly the best news in the world. For them. For them. You understand? There's two different sets of people in this parable. Now, this part of the parable starts with hatred for the Lord. And it ends with enemies. Enemies. I didn't call them enemies. Christ did. I'm just repeating what he said. His citizens hated him. Now, they were those that were living in the kingdom that this Lord ruled. This Lord reigned over them anyway. Amen. You know what? They hated it. They hated it. No, they hated him. They might have hated it, but they hated him. That's what the scripture says. Hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, mine enemies. That's what he said. Because here's the thing. Yes, Jesus Christ does have enemies. No, everybody loves Jesus. They might love their Jesus. They might love the Jesus of their own imagination. They might love the Jesus that most pulpits preach in this day and age. But I'm going to tell you this. The natural man does not love the Lord Jesus Christ as he is. He does not. His citizens hated him, and he calls them mine enemies. And matter of fact, that was his description of his enemies. What is it? But his citizens hated him. That's what it said. Later on, he tells his disciples, they hated me. Who's he talking about? He's talking about real people. That's not a parable, folks. That's real people. They hated me. They hated Jesus Christ without a cause. Without a cause. Oh, my. They hated him. Why? Well, the scripture also tells us. Men, natural men, love darkness. Yeah. What? That's not all, though. Rather than in the place of the light. Right. Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Men hate the light. His citizens hated him. He is the light. Men hate the light. That's what it says. Men hated him who is the light. Therefore, the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is how they talk. We will not have this man to reign over us. That's what it says. And you know what? That's exactly what it means. They'll take little Jesus in a manger, a baby who needs somebody's help. Oh, isn't he cute? You know, my favorite thing about Christmas is the part of baby Jesus is played by a 25-watt light bulb. They have a little glow coming out of the No, he became flesh and blood. And he was king at that time. And he was reigning at that time, whether we knew it or not. But they hated him. They hated him without a cause. And though they hate him and they despise him, they will not have this man to reign over them.
Right.
Because they don't want it. They don't want anyone to reign over them. But here's the thing. Though they will not have this man to reign over them, he does. He does. That's why I said it. He reigns whether we like it or not. He reigns whether we know it or not. He reigns whether we want it or not. Because he is king. The Lord reigns. What does it say? What did he say? Mine enemies bring hither and slay them before me. You understand? It doesn't end well for the enemies of Jesus Christ. It never has. Never has. Unless it does. Because I'm going to tell you this right now. If you'd have went to Saul of Tarsus while he was standing there watching the clothes of people who were stoning Stephen, and you asked him, what do you think of Jesus Christ? He'd throw a rock at you. But God stopped him.
Yes, he did.
God stopped him. He saves some of his enemies. But in the end, when it comes down to the end of this parable, when it comes down to the end of this world, the enemies at that time are going to be slain. That's what he says. And it's not a pleasant thought. But more about that in a little bit. Those who don't want Christ to reign over them are called enemies by the Lord who does reign over them. I like this. I wrote this down. Their desires, their wants, and even their will not change him that reigns over them. He may change them. but they're not going to change him. Oh, I like that. I do. I like a God that's sovereign. I like a God who reigns. But because here's the thing, there are those who rejoice over having this man reign over them. There are those that rejoice. He does have enemies. It states it clearly. But there are those whom he calls friends, whom he calls brothers. I'm not ashamed to call you brethren. Oh, I like that too. Let's look at it here a bit in the Old Testament, just for a minute. This is 1 Chronicles chapter 16. This is David speaking after they brought the ark back to Jerusalem and put it into the tent. Uzzah died, but then they read and they found out how to carry the ark properly, and they brought it back rejoicing. All right? First Chronicles 16, verse 23. Sing, sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods, especially if you're his enemies. Glory, glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth, and the world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Here it is. Verse 31. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, what? The Lord reigneth. Oh, that's the message. That's the message. The Lord reigneth. The heavens and the earth are glad and rejoice. Let men say among the nations. What's that mean? Preach it. Yeah. Preach it. Proclaim it. You understand? Our God, the God of the heavens, is not a beggar. I'm not here, or listening, wherever you are, I'm not here to beg you to get saved. And Jesus Christ certainly is not. Not a bit. Call upon the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. But if you don't call on the Lord, mind you, you're not going to be saved. If you won't have this man to reign over you as Lord, you won't have him. And that's a sad story. The Lord reigns. And what's it say? Show forth, what is this? From day to day, his salvation. His salvation. Oh, I like that. You understand? That's the salvation of God. That's the salvation he gives. It's his salvation. And it becomes your salvation when he gives it to you. But it's still his salvation. He gives his salvation. He gives his righteousness. He gives his justification. He gives his redemption, the reconciliation. He did it all. And he gives it to his people, his salvation. Sing unto the Lord. Why? He reigns. He reigns. David, the man after God's own heart, rejoiced that the Lord reigned over him. And over all the earth. You understand? What did it say? For all the gods of the people are idols. There is but one God. There is but one God. Oh my. What? But the Lord made the heavens, the maker of heaven and earth. There is but one Lord, and he reigns over everyone. Everyone. You don't have to turn here, but I got a few of them. Psalms tell us to worship the Lord, and they proclaim his reign. Psalm 96, 9 and 10 says this, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth." The Lord reigneth. "The world also shall be established that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously." Righteously. What did he say? What was it? Let me get it right. "But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me." I'm going to tell you something. That's righteous judgment. That's righteous judgment. Psalm 97 and 1 says this, "The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof." Understand, the Lord reigning is good news. It's glad news. Psalm 99 and 1 says the same thing, just a little more to it here. "The Lord reigneth." What? "Let the people tremble." Let the people tremble. "He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved." Oh, I like that. Now, we go back to the New Testament. Luke chapter 1. The announcement by Gabriel to Mary. What's it say about Jesus Christ? What does it say? Luke chapter 1 and verse 31. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." Verse 32, "He shall be great." He shall be great. "And shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Thee, Lord, said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make mine enemies thy footstool. He shall give him the throne of his father David." And, verse 33, Luke chapter 1, "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever." Why? "Of his kingdom there shall be no end." The good news of the angel Gabriel to Mary is the Lord's going to reign. Excuse me, the Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Oh, I like that. Why am I preaching this? This is the message given to me, but I saw something in particular that made me think of it. If you want to look for just a minute at Romans 10 and verse 15, I'm not going to be keeping you long, but I got a couple more things here. Romans chapter 10 and verse 15, very familiar piece of scripture, it should be. Well, I'll go ahead and read 13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I already quoted it. "How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" What's the next verse? "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." That's what you're supposed to preach. Glad tidings of good things. Now, those that are preachers are sent. Those that are preaching are sent, and they are sent to preach the gospel of peace. And the glad tidings, that's the gospel of good things. Same word. The gospel of good tidings. Now, what are these good tidings? This is actually, as it is written, this is Paul quoting from Isaiah 52 and verse 7. So, Isaiah 52 and verse 7. "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good." That's what Paul exactly quoted. Here's the rest of that verse. "That publishes salvation. That saith unto Zion," here it is, what? Thy God reigns. That's good news. That's the glad tidings. You know, it's good news that God reigns. This is what the world doesn't understand. The world doesn't want to understand because the world doesn't want him reigning. He doesn't want to reign over them. But they won't have it. The gospel of peace, the good tidings of good, are the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The publication is of his salvation. His sacrifice and offering to God has been accepted. Believers are redeemed and are reconciled, and they are being called in his good time. They've been given the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Christ, imparted and imputed. Here's his covenant is sure in all things, ordered and sure in all things. You want to know why? Because he reigns. Because he reigns. His salvation is sure because he reigns. Those that are sent believe, say, and preach and teach, thy God reigneth. Ah, this is the Christ we preach, the sovereign God who saves and who keeps saved and who brings in to his glory. This is the good tidings of good things. Thy God reigns. The Lord Jesus Christ reigns over all. He said in his prayer, "You, Father, you've given me all power. Power over all flesh. That I might give to as many as thou hast given me eternal life." We believers believe him. The God who reigns. The God who rules. Finally, what's it say? What will we rejoice in heaven? Who will we rejoice in? Who gets all the praise and honor and glory in heaven? The Lord God who reigns. What? The Lamb of God slain from before the foundation of the world. What shall be heard in heaven? This is what we say when in heaven. Revelations 19 and verse 6. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia. Alleluia. What? For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Oh my. That's good news, folks. That's good news. What's it say? Verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice. And give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Oh, I like that. Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Paul continued on in Romans 15. He said, and Isaiah, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust. There's a lot of reigning going on in the Old Testament and in the New, isn't there? What did he say then? Now the God of hope, this is Romans 15, 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. What? In believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Understand who reigns? Who it is that reigns? The God of hope. The God of hope. My only hope, your only hope. He reigns. He reigns. Oh, I like that. Understand, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He has all power. And you know what he does? He keeps every single one of his promises. Now, there's a promise to those who believe. And there's a promise to those who don't believe. What did he say? Bring them here and slay them. In front of me. Oh, but there's another promise. The ones to those that believe him. That he says, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. Yeah. Why? Yeah. How can he do it? Oh, he reigns. He reigns. He's got the power. We don't have any power. We were without strength. And guess what? We still are without strength. But Christ died for the ungodly. Oh, I like that. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. It's a blessing to believe the sovereign Christ. It's his salvation we are given. And our salvation is blessed and complete because the Lord Jesus Christ reigneth. He reigns. He reigns over all, and he gives us rejoicing, hope, love, and peace. And that's the good news I want to pass on today. Thy God reigns. You understand? You may not feel it. You may not know it. Don't. He does. Rejoice. Be joyful. You understand? This is the thing. People don't trust God. People don't trust Christ. Because they don't know him. If you knew him, you'd love him and you'd trust him. If you know him, it's because he made himself known unto you. He's called you to himself. I heard Henry preaching on it the other day. The thing we've talked about, Walter, more than once we've preached on it. You didn't choose me, I chose you. But, and he reigns. And he reigns. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. If he chose you yesterday, he chose you today. And if he chose you today, he chose you forever. I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. Thy God reigns. He has the power and he's using it. Oh, I like that. I do. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful again for this day and this time. Thankful most of all for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who you've given to reign over us, who you've given to be our salvation, to be our wisdom, to be our righteousness, to be our redemption, to be our sanctification. We need it all, and you have given it all in your Son. Be with Walter as he comes to preach. Be with Paul, blessing him as he preaches where he is. Be with all gospel preachers preaching the sovereign Lord wherever they may be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.